Great, dude. You're,
so this is so, so this is so this is so fun.
Just saying it makes me laugh. Anyway.
Well, okay. No. Well, it's good. It's okay. So, first of all, you guys are the best, man. It's so hard. It's so hard sometimes to catch everyone. I know everyone is so busy. But dude, I was saying before, geezers look insane.
It was insane.
It was an insane amount of fun. You know, people keep thanking us, man. I know it's kind of weird to get thanked for stuff like that because I just keep telling people, I'm like, you know, it really was a lot of fun. So it's hard. There was some work involved, but.
So what did you, so what did you guys do? What was the process as far as setup? Was it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
I showed up on Tuesday to take a look at the site and to make contact with some people there on the ground, but we didn't begin set up until Wednesday, but it started at 9.
Chesty. Yo, that thing has some serious street cred, bro.
Not playing games, dude.
That thing's that you could probably sell that on eBay for like $1,200. No, I'm kidding.
I need to start hanging my balls, my retrieval balls, in my chest. But they would be chest balls.
What? What for? Ringing rings?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
For ringing rings?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Man, I need to. I love the way Brian does that. The way he's got everything right there. It's like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, you know that chest harness, man, really is a multiple sport kind of thing, you know?
Oh yeah. I know why BJ does that. I think I might move to something like that. I've been rocking the 4SRT Chester for a bit, but I
think that thing is nice.
It is nice, but I think what BJ's rocking it makes sense in a lot of ways. It probably does. It stay on your harness, BJ?
Do you keep that with your harness, Brucey?
Yeah, it stays on the harness.
Brucey, what were most of the geezers on? Mechanicals?
Oh, it was a good blend, man. Honestly, I mean, I saw plenty of rope runners out there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Plenty of people were running on the wrench. They had plenty of double rope climbers.
Yo,
or moving rope, however you want to say it.
Zigzag with the.
Yo, there was some serious. There was some serious competition down there, bro. I was looking at that score sheet, man. That was a throwdown.
That's so
awesome.
Yeah. There were some people that showed up that I didn't expect.
What a cool community. I don't want to say, I'm not saying it has a Charlotte feel or a Jambo feel, but it's, or a rodeo thing, but it's definitely its own thing. It's like, you know.
Oh yeah. It is very much its own thing. And the comp's been around for a while. It's been around for over 10 years.
Yeah, so what happened? So what happened as far as I know, I guess Scotty, I know Scotty plays a real big part in it, you know, and has for a long time. So, but what was there, like, sort of a changing of the guard, or did he just kind of need more help on the ground?
Well, I can tell you Scotty is very much linked to the history of that competition back when Bruce Smith was involved, and he's one of the people, him and Scott Bob. Kind of, there was another female of which.
I'm losing you.
I just met some of these folks, but I've learned a bit about the history of the comp. But yeah, I mean, over the years, Scotty, you know, I think he's had to play double duty couple years ago, and then I think five did like back in.
Hey, TC.
Can you? I can't hear Chris that well.
You're not good.
Time out, Chris. Time out there for a second. I think it might be his connection. Cause now
can you
his
hear me now?
Say again, Chris.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of that you didn't catch, but
well, no, you were getting into how much Scotty is a part of the history there.
And yeah.
You know, you were sort of explaining that.
Yeah, so I was saying I recently met some folks out there in Windermere who were linked to the history of it, and they kind of gave me the lowdown. And I mean, that competition started with passion. It started with trying to really expand arboriculture within the area, like good arboriculture, to teach people about trees. And it just so happened that those people that were doing that, they were 40 and older. And can you hear me?
I can hear you. That was perfect.
It was Bruce Smith and Scott Proffitt that were together working on it, and Scotty was involved. And like I say, I think in the past couple of years, Scotty's been wanting to transition to compete more, and it was tough for him to both compete
right.
and run the – so
what's
– I don't know. Part of the reason I think I was a good fit, there's a little history there too. I've got a rapport with a lot of folks out there in Florida because I've competed there quite a bit in the past. And it's all about relationships, right? So I had a lot of good relationships with these people and
big
these folks
time.
In Florida. So they're my family, really.
Right.
You could look at it that way. And that's how it kind of turned out. And then I started showing up to the Geezers Comp, and they were like, dude, you've got to come out here. I just fell into place out
yeah.
there. That's how I can just fell into place.
Yeah, you know, that's
it felt very natural, not forced. You know, like everything good in life, it wasn't forced.
You guys seemed it seemed like you had a pretty nice team of guys. I know, Brian. What did you end up doing? Teching the work climb? I mean, aside from setting up, what was
essentially when I showed up? Well, I was supposed to kind of had a little mess up with flights, but I was Wednesday.
Tell them. You don't have to talk to him. It's in the past, bro.
Nice. So I didn't get to work on Wednesday. I was fixing to work half a day Wednesday, but ended up just going out Thursday morning. They had everything ringed off already, which is great. That's a lot of work, just putting all the tape up and.
Yo, is that site unique in the sense that it's always in the same park, or does it sort of jump around that town? Because I feel like Windermere, I mean, is that the unique site of Geezer? Sort of like the concept of Augusta is like, you know, that's where the tournament always is. How does that work?
Yeah, and I don't think it's all bad because there are a good group of trees there, but they do typically have the comp at the same site, but there's a park across the street, probably, I don't know, BJ, would you say like 50 feet away from where the town hall is. And most of the preliminary events in the past have taken place right outside of the hall. And that's been the case for years. And then they might go across the street.
Yo, Chris, I'm losing you a little bit again.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can. That's really good.
Okay. So like I was saying, typically they were using the preliminary events were happening just outside the town hall, but the past couple of years we've been doing more stuff across the street to give those trees a break.
Right.
And also, just a couple months ago, there was some work performed. I think some irrigation were installed, and some of the trees' roots were damaged, so we just elected not to use those trees, so... There was a lot of stuff that happened this year to make us have to be comfortable. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it really seems like to have things go smoothly. I mean, it's not really a lot more than just hanging bells. You know what I'm saying? Knowing the infrastructure of the town and knowing what's happening, essentially in that urban forest or whatever you want to call it, park or whatever. That's pretty cool, man. You know, that's pretty cool. Dude, I totally see now in pop culture all the time, you know, you look at guys like, you know, pro skateboarding, for example. You know, it was such a quirky thing at first, and look at it's like there's competition circuits where guys are doing things in a really similar way, and I guess I'm not really trying to make a connection so much as to say that you know, there is a lot of similarities in that sense, you know what I'm saying, where you're incorporating that environment into this creative expression, but a competition too amongst peers, you know, so you still have a real, there's still a real working aspect to it, and I don't know, man, I really like the angle.
You have to get involved with the next one. I'll tell you what, I worked hard to build a little bit of fervor about this year, and there'd be a couple of key things that I could mention that I think helped build that. And I had some people thank me for some specific things that I was like, wow, I think, you know, some of the stuff that I really wanted to see happen, some of the stuff that I wanted to have some of the climbers notice, they noticed and they said something to me.
Yeah.
Like Chip helped. I love Chip. He said something online yesterday. He said, man, it seemed more organized and it seemed like it was more fun. And I don't know. Me and you guys have done some rec climbing together. And one of the things I said about our rec climbs is, you know, back when people used to dangling about where rec climb was fun. But when we started ground to grounding, because I brought a little bit of organization to those kind of climbs, it made them more fun. We ended up climbing longer. We ended up climbing harder and ended up learning more, right? And that's when I'll be honest, I got a little bit of pushback initially because I wanted to have Masters on Sunday and that some people had this perception that I was going to make the comp more competitive. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make it safer. And I wanted to make it a bit more organized, all with the intention of having people have more fun. And I was just super glad that people literally, they were like, dude, this has been the one that's the most fun. And we just tightened it up a bit. That was my goal. I had a lady come in, I think she was a reporter, come in and she interviewed me and Scotty. She asked, you know, what are your goals with the comp now that you're kind of at the helm, you have the reins of it. And I said, I just want to tighten up the corners. You know, I want to hold on to the history that the comp has. I want to keep it fun, but I just want to tighten the corners to just to amp it, make people have more fun. And I want to, I thought there was a balance to things too. And the other thing, and I'm sorry, I'm so long winded.
No, dude, I honestly couldn't, I couldn't be happier to listen.
The other thing that people also were saying was, you know, about the whole competition part of the comp. They were kind of fearful that the fun would go away if we made it more competitive. And I've always felt that there's been a balance that could be struck there, because even like we just go to a regular ISA comp or we go to Jambo, we know it is as often as competitive as it can be, but it can still be fun. So there's room for everyone, you know. But so I knew I had to strike that balance, and even just because guys are 40 or older doesn't mean they're still not trying to come in there and throw down. So I had to pay respect to that too and understand that. And I do, as a competitor, I get that. And I think that the comp has grown to a point where, and I've been talking to some of the older guys about this perspective that I have is to try to work hard to be open to change and open to the idea that it's okay for the comp to be a little bit competitive, because that shit doesn't go away when guys get older.
Right, and dude. The thing is, and you know what, man?
They were so stoked to see that score sheet, you wouldn't believe it. They were geeking out just like we do.
Bro, when I saw it posted, I started I immediately clicked on it. I started studying it, dude. I started studying the score sheet. Like, I'm like, I got a sickness, man. It's really bad. But when are you guys have plans? Either one of you have plans on going to Myrtle Beach?
Hell yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, me too, bro. All
right, cool. Yeah, I think I'm competing three times in February.
Florida has three.
Brock, are you going to Myrtle Beach?
And I don't think so.
Oh, dude.
Dude, BJ's been pushing it pretty hard. He's been traveling quite a bit.
Yeah, dude, chill. You look haggard. You look haggard, bro.
Gotta build a fence.
You look malnourished.
No.
And haggard.
You just need to trim under there a little bit.
Hey, so what did you guys do? Did you guys get put up at, like, the resort, or how did that work?
Our buddy Jeff Inman got an Airbnb. He hooked it up on that. That was a fun experience. It was different.
Hey, that Airbnb is a really nice resource to have.
Yes, yes. BJ's done a good bit for that than I have.
Yeah, you hooked that thing up, bro.
That was sick.
We did a cool wreck hunt there, watched the sun go down the first night we were there.
In Florida?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. What types of trees were you guys climbing in?
Go ahead, BJ.
Live and laurel oaks mostly, and then there was some wreck climbing in the park on some decent loblollies, kind of scattered about. The ones they rec climbed at the B&B were loblollies and, or no, were they short leaf?
Long leaf pine.
They were short leaf.
But there was a loblolly or two mixed in there. Dude, honestly, get some sick trees.
Five oaks.
The broad mossy creatures.
Pretty trees, long climbs.
Sure.
I mean, they set up the work line.
Who did?
The work.
BJ did.
Yeah, well.
How is that?
Trying to set it up without me, but I kind of climbed to the top and said, okay, yes.
Here we go.
Move. But
well, I told Nick Meyer, and if he watches it, he could vouch for this. I was like, you know, I said, lean on what BJ has to say about it because I trust his opinion and know he's got a really good feel for it. And so he knew where I was coming from with that, but he did a good job managing that event. And that's probably why he's going to have his pick of the poison next year
Brock, you have some real, heavy street cred in the teching realm, bro. You could probably walk into internationals and be like, just totally take over that whole scene, dude.
Kind of seems like I can do that, but
I can see you with an earbud and some black square glasses and like a black suit and tie.
I had a pocket square up there in the
But let's Is that a limb walker?
My pocket. I had a button up black shirt. And I had this in my pocket.
Hey. Corey throws down, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
All right, man. Just getting it done. Getting it done. If you can't throw there, don't go there.
It's a pretty good motto, actually.
Yeah, it was fun. I know there was some live streaming going on during the events, and it was cool to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, where are you competing three times in February, bro? What?
You know what's crazy? I don't know if people know this right now, but in the USA right now, you can compete every month except for January, and that's what's cool about geezers is that it is. That I know of right now, it's the only comp that takes place in January. But as Brian could attest, it it was it's a money time to compete out there in Florida because it was like 75 degrees, you know?
Right.
I mean, a couple days it almost hit 80, so.
Right.
I mean, we were loving it, dude. But, yeah, I mean, I think I competed 9 or 10 times last year, and I went to 12 comps, including Hong Kong.
Wow.
So this year I'm trying to keep up the same. I don't know if Guinness has a thing. Somebody told me a couple years ago that
ISA Lifetime Achievement Award. I will write it in. I will write it in, bro.
Write it
in. I think somebody told me a couple years ago that Adrian Wilson went to 10 comps in 1 year. And I don't know. He could probably tell us about that. But this year, I think my goal is to try to compete 12 times. And that'd be at least twice. It's going to be at least once a month, but I'm going to try to swing it in at least twice a month if I can. So shit, maybe that end up being close to like 18 times. I'm trying to be realistic
about it. I'm trying to do at least Southern and Charlotte for sure. And then I tell you what, man, New England throws down.
Yeah.
I was in Portland.
I was out that way. Trying to hit Texas this year.
Texas, Missouri. Or Texas and Midwest.
Brock, that's your jam out there, though, dude. Texas, yeah, Midwest.
You got to come to Midwest this year, bro. It's in Springfield. And they're throwing down and all about trees afterwards.
Missouri? That's the same week. That's the same weekend as Pendel, typically. The first week of June.
Yep.
You know, first weekend.
Some of these comps, man, a lot of them are scheduled on the same day.
Yeah. Hey, what are you gonna do? I mean, it is what it is. I think there was. I remember that one year at Jambo, Starks was like competed one day at Jambo, then like drove 22 hours and like. Competed somewhere else and then came back in like one open ascent.
The Midwest.
Yeah, Midwest.
Jambo. I didn't do that crazy.
Well, I think the cool thing is, man, is really that's what it's about, is about networking. I mean, you know, like sometimes it's cool to get away from the work of it. I feel like the work does get redundant and it's so governed, I don't know, from a sense of what you need to do or what you need to make or like you got to cover costs and everything like that. And it really, you know, there are those really wonderful jobs that are awesome, but I think there is sort of this reality to it of, you know,
let's be honest, man, Treework is a grind, and that's...
It's a service. It's a service.
And I think that's why we often want to get a bit of a release, get a bit of revival, and that's why comps, I think, are good. They refresh us. They're a reminder of why Treework is cool.
Right. I think that's the thing is...
Your hair is perfect right now. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, dude, that's a good look.
I don't know if anyone can tell me where the hell my hairline went, but I've been looking for it.
Coates, when do you turn 40, bro?
Like 8 or 9 years. I'm 33.
I turned 40 for you, bro.
Yeah. What are you now? You're 36, right?
40. In geezers.
How old are you, Brock?
5.
35?
35.
You got 5 years. You got 5 years left. Yeah, I'm not looking. I'd much rather look forward to coming down and volunteering than competing.
Why?
Just because I want to slow life down. I don't want it to speed up, man.
I hear you. Everybody keeps telling me, don't look forward to getting older, but geezers is something that makes me look forward to getting older.
I didn't care.
You know.
All the time, he's like, "You just want to be old like me." I was like, "Well, I want to be old, but I definitely want to be like you." He is the man. He is so awesome. Him finishing that Eric you just freaking melted my heart, man. He wasn't even going to do it the night before, and I told him to do it.
You know, you gotta do it. Yeah, there's a lot of real cool personalities in that field. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got some really interesting people with some really interesting backgrounds and stories. Listen, hey man, this is what it's all about. That's what I'm sort of trying to capture with my blog, with this podcast, it's not just tree climbers or whatever, stump grinding or blowing chips or anything like that. I think there's some people with some really interesting stories of how they got into the business and what they do. And listen, there's people out there that are researching this kind of stuff. Listen, people want to know how to make a living doing it. And I think it's real important to understand that you don't have to be able to throw a throw ball 80 feet in the air to make a great career out of right. Tree work. You know, there's avenues like tree inventory, plant health care. And you know, I think the tough pill to swallow is, you know, people always bring up the idea of money and how good of a living you can make doing it. And it's like, listen, man, it's like any other business. You pave your own way. You can create your own place in this industry. And I think people need to really understand that you don't need to be driving around in a huge bucket truck, forestry truck, pulling an 18-inch chipper with a 9-man crew or you know, hanging off of a crane ball every day. There are ways to use your education, what you know, what you learn. And I think a big part of the competitions is seeing how other people operate. That's always one thing that I love to do when I travel or when I go to symposiums, you know, is really say, hey man, how do you do business, or how do you stay in shape, or like, you know, what do you do to sort of inspire yourself to live the life that you live? You know, listen, there's a lot of us out there that sort of yearn for this adventure. You know, you want to travel around and see the world and be in different atmospheres and environments, and it's all cool and everything. But hey, that kind of stuff, it costs money. You know, you have to go, sometimes you have to go back to work on Monday. But I think that there is a really cool opportunity in the business, in the tree business, to be able to travel and to be able to really meet some really brilliant people. You know, there's some really great opportunities out there. You know, and I think you do see that at the comps. You don't just see the, you know, there, of course, there's a lot of moxie and all that sort of jar, you know, that goes hand in hand with the competitive side of things. But I do think that if you have the right type of mindset and you get in the right circles, man, I mean, you can really meet some interesting people that can really be influential, really influential to the way that you operate.
Sure. If you're looking for that, TC, and I think you're a guy, the prime example that you listen and you seek to hear and understand, you know, and you're absolutely right about that. That's one of the advantages of traveling around, to expose yourself to all that. I know BJ's into that. I'm going to be trying to sucker his ass into doing a lot of cool stuff this year if he'll let me.
Hey, yeah. Hey, that's
2017 the year, bro.
Yeah,
the
20, year that I'm
getting open this year.
I'm really looking forward to. I was really struggling with buying a plane ticket down to Myrtle Beach, and I just said the other night, I'm like, you know what? I'm driving. I'm getting in my truck Friday morning. I'm driving through the night. I'm getting there. I'm sleeping, and I'm waking up, dude. And the first thing I'm looking for is two legs of HTP, man. I'm going right to the footlock. I'm going right to the Foot Lock because I got some, ice tail that I've glazed just to the perfect, temperature.
Gotta keep it in our bag of tools until they change our ways.
Well, you know what, man? I think it's important too to understand that it's really one of those things. I think it has a lot to do with maybe so much, not so much technique or progression, but I think there's a mental aspect to everything where there's gonna be things that you don't want to do, you know? And guess what, man? Sometimes you gotta just jump on and ride, and it's like it's really, I think the hardest thing about it is putting yourself out there, because you know you're seeing guys throwing down 15-second foot locks, and you got to follow that up. You know that can really do some stuff to your ego. You know what I mean? And I think there's growth. I think there's a little bit of growth in that, and just even in little small successes, I think that's an important thing. You know, and I know the theme here is sort of the competition and what it does for us, but I think that it's about small wins. You know, I said once, I was watching someone in their work climb, and someone was sitting next to me, and I was like, oh man, you got to keep two hands on the saw. You got to keep two hands on the saw. And the person who I said it to was like, it's really only a point. And I was like, dude, that is the essence of everything is accumulating those points. If you can score one point, you can score 180 points.
The only way to get them. You gotta fight for every.
And dude, I look back to Kentucky. It haunts me every time. And I was ringing bells with one hand on my saw. And I'm, you know, in hindsight, it's something that you rehearse every day. And then the panic sets in. You're dangling in the dead zone, right? Your heart is racing. Everybody's watching you. And now all of a sudden, the bull's riding you, dude. No, but I think that it's funny. I think the mentality is there to say, oh yeah, well, if you're not a footlock guy, but to be honest with you, I think it's just about some really on a basic level. It's so much about your mental game. Really, I know it sounds so cliche. It really does. But, dude, when you go in there with a clean mind and you really have a clear objective on how you know how to score points, because not everyone scores points the same way. There's a lot that goes into it, man. And you can really – I've seen it, man. I've seen – really big gains just on a level of understanding how to score points. But listen, man, there's a whole dark matter to it too, is like, who's judging the events? How are they going to interpret the events?
Yeah.
And which, listen, I think that's the beautiful part of it. I love that there's that constant variable that's like, because isn't that what it is? Isn't it about your ability to show up and to interpret things on so many levels?
Yeah.
You know, and so yeah, I think that if you're really skilled athletically, you're going to be able to do it time and again. But man, I really do think that there's a mental aspect to it that really you can sharpen and hone, and that transcends that. It goes into the work side of things to be able to deal with. To be able to deal with clients, to be able to read people, to be able to sort of interpret how they're gonna, you know, how they're gonna receive you.
I agree, man. I believe it was about 2 years ago. I was me and Whitelock, Tom Whitelock, and Cormac Nagin were at a restaurant. We were talking, and just shooting the breeze about tree work. One of the things we talked about was how. Where'd you guys go?
I had to dip out for a minute.
One of the things we talked about was...
Sorry, Chris.
How our goal is to get better at comps, right? But basically what that all often leads to is, in order to do that, in order for that to happen, for that to shine through, we have to become better human beings. And that's basically, you know, all of all the times we fuck up in life, if I can use that word here. You know, I always think like, okay, that's a learning lesson. Now, how can I learn how to get better, to become a better human being? And I hate to say it, because I have been involved with the comps and they do mean so much to me. I often think like, okay, I can see where I've made a stride as a human being. So that's probably going to lead to me being better at comps. And if it's a win for you in your life, it's going to be a win for you at a comp, you know. But ultimately, what really matters is that you're making strides as a human being. That's the point I'm making. You know,
yourself to be better.
Yeah. You're training yourself. When we are trying to become, you know, perfect in our competitions, we are also training ourselves to become better human beings, and I think that's cool.
I think it's something that everybody thinks about, and. I think that the other thing to consider is that you're adding value to yourself and to what you can bring your clients. You know, people will say, "Oh, well, you know, listen, I don't get paid to sit at my desk at night and read books. I don't get paid to sit here and to talk to you guys. I don't get paid to travel and to go to comps." That's an investment. That's an investment that I'm making in myself, because I need to. It's a way for us to build value and bring that value to the marketplace that we serve. Because, you know, let's be honest. Again, it's what we do for a living, and so I think that's a big part of it. You know, I know there's a lot of different, personalities out there, and, you know, you definitely see a lot of it on social media, man. It's really crazy. To see how much, you know, how much people blow up. And I really do think that there's some negative things out there that are, you know, I mean, there's drama with everything, but I don't know. I think that when as a community, when you can meet up and sort of share in an event face to face, it really does something for the relationships in that community, you know what I mean? And again, like when you talk about comps or anything, a rec climb, or, you know, you're going to your chapter symposium every year, it's just nice to get together with people and catch up and be re-inspired. You know, be re-inspired about what you do, because listen, man, there's people out there that are pushing the envelope, and you don't want to get left behind. You don't want to get left behind, man. It's Chris, changing.
I have to tell you, I definitely agree with that, TC. I think I could really speak for Brian on this too. I've noticed it in him. Since I met him and started hanging out with him more, we are doing something similar. I see us pushing ourselves and pushing each other. We get together and he's doing his rec climbs. And I know, even in the forefront of my mind, my goal, we got together, we climbed this big burr oak that BJ actually went out there and climbed today. And I know even in that moment, nobody was judging me. We got together, we climbed. And in the forefront of my mind, I was like, I'm here. Doing exactly what I want to be doing in life in this moment. And what are we doing? No one had to say it. We are trying to get better. We are working to get better. And it was just awesome to be there in that moment. Man, it must have been, I don't know, probably 20 degrees and the wind was blowing, right? And I blew off my jacket and was out there in a t-shirt because I was ready to throw down. I was ready to climb that tree as hard as I could, as to the best of my ability. Why? Because it's just that time. It's that time in my life where I'm focused and I really honestly want to get better. That same week, BJ said something to me. Pretty sure it was BJ, or it might have been UTC there in Kentucky. We were talking. No, it was that week. I said, it was when you were out here in Maryland, BJ. We were climbing so much together. I was like, dude, we're not posers, bro. We are not posing. BJ said something like, yeah, bro, don't talk about it, be about it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. We're being about it, man. And I love that we're in that place in life. You know?
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that's happening on. I always say it's a very unique industry in the fact that it's very big in the sense that you can go anywhere in the world. You can probably go anywhere in the world and jump on Facebook and message somebody and hook up for a climb like in a day or two.
Yep.
That blows my mind away, man. It really does. But I think that it's incredible, the social media aspect of it, and but I think the ISA also plays a big role in validating someone's sort of stature. You know, I think everybody really holds an ISA affiliation. I think that's I don't know. People have different opinions about that, but I have I am very much indebted to the ISA for beginning the web of networking that I have. I mean, honestly, through the certification process and going and listening to the speakers that they got to come in and getting CPR and first aid certified and sort of maintaining those things. I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm a model of professional development by any means, but I think it's a good affiliation to have. And then, you know, when you look at the chapter events and everything that offers, I mean, I don't know. It's
absolutely. We owe a lot to ISA and what they've done to. They could definitely get the ball rolling, as you say, with the comps and accreditation. And I think that a lot of us have we've picked off. I don't want to say where they left off, but I think that we're starting the second chapter to this, man.
Yeah.
You know, that climbers outside of the comp have begun to create a culture that now exists with recreational climbing, and that has moved outward into climbing comps that exist outside of ISA, unaffiliated comps, as I call them. You know, Tree Jam, Jambo, the Rodeo, Geezers, all these great comps that are building the community even closer and tighter. But absolutely, ISA got the ball rolling. That's why I could never turn my back on what they're doing. I look forward to this comp every bit as much as the stuff that's unaffiliated.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yo, Brock, so you, I know you have big plans. I know you're after that Midwest title, bro.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping to maybe take it home this year. But
I know.
I don't have to too much expectation, you know, man. What I'm blessed with this year is a guy named Casey Tavares who wants to climb next to me everywhere I go.
So is he?
His first chapter comp this year.
Casey works. Is Casey working with you?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He works with me.
Is he competing in Southern?
Is he going to Southern?
not going to go to Southern. His first one will be
Midwest.
His first
he's going to
Charlotte.
Well, he did Jambo. He did Jambo last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he
got an IL comp.
He's got a good feel. He's got a good. He's got. He's a strong dude. I mean, he's gonna love it.
Yeah,
he's a.
We're training pretty hard, man. We're putting in the hours off the ropes too. You know, it's not all rope. You got to put in some cardio and some explosive stuff. And I mean, you can't just keep it all climbing.
Well, no, I think total. You dude, if you want to put, I mean, yeah, there you can take it to any level you want, but I think. I know for a fact, man, I'm hitting the pull-up bar. I'm taking my shirt off in the garage, bro, and I'm hitting the pull-up bar.
Sweaty.
I'm getting sweaty.
Can you take a video of that?
I'll post. That'll be my next blog post.
Say, man. I mean, no pictures or it didn't happen. Whatever. Your choice.
There you go. Thank you.
Turn down for what?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I like I said, I think this is great, man. This can be a recurring thing too. We can sort of catch up every now and again and just shoot the word on what's going on in the industry, man. I know I just wanted to catch up on Geezers because I know you guys did well, I'm close with you guys, and I know you guys were involved on a certain level. So I sort of wanted to get the scoop and just put it out there. I want to get this media out there. I mean, just follow the blog, man. The arblife.com. It's unsponsored, bro. It's like I'm not doing it for anything aside from trying to just get in touch with the community. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what it's going to turn into. I don't know what it's going to turn into, but like I said, this is the way that I'm going to use the networks that I have developed. I want to talk to people. I want to hear people's ideas and their experiences, and then I want to share it with people so that people can learn about how to do it. You know what I'm saying? And you don't have to it's just another outlet, and it's a resource for inspiration, and that's why you guys I honestly thought of you guys because you guys inspire me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for how many times we've hung out and climbed together, I have a lot of respect for you guys. I have a lot of respect for everyone out there, man, and I'm grateful that you guys were able to join me.
Man, I'm happy to be here.
Hey, so I'll let you know something. I'll telegraph this a little bit. This year, Rodeo 3 is happening. Okay. And that's the last one was pretty epic. The next
Scooby.
One, this thing's going to build, man. I think it's going to build. I think what we're chasing after with this particular comp is going to, it's going to attract a lot of the best climbers in the country, hopefully the world.
Hey,
so I will put together something that's a little bit on the level of the Charlotte comp, and I think we can do that.
Yeah.
But what I've been thinking, I know Jambo does some challenging things, but I want to really push the climber. But I want to see every facet of the tree climbing game demonstrated by the climber outside of speed. You know, that's one facet of many that we have. But I think TC, I actually get, you know, some of the ideas I have for the upcoming rodeo come from you. You talked about some type of endurance event. You know, we're, as tree workers, we're out there working many hours a day, you know, and.
Dude, it's so crazy that you had said that because I'm going, you know, dude, I have a notebook and I'm constantly jotting down ideas that I think about, and I do a lot of research, man. I look to a lot of other trades and a lot of other disciplines for inspiration, and you know, dude, I have this fascination with alpine climbing and how these guys are so sustainable for really long periods of time, you know, it's not even about cardio or endurance. It's about how they prepare and how they package themselves to deal with it. And I sort of, you know, you think of, I think really what it all goes back to on some sort of level, as far as being an arborist, I think what it always comes down to is being able to make money better, you know, and how can you be more comfortable and more efficient and more creative, you know, and I guess in the sense, and what I'm saying is, let's say, you know, you have a big prune coming up and, you know, you're sort of getting a little intimidated by it. Maybe you should have gave yourself another 2 hours on the bid or something like that, and you're sort of doubting yourself. Dude, set yourself up to be competitive, you know? Get a small fanny pack on, man. Put some snacks in there. Get your hydration lined up and go out there and get the poisonous thoughts out of your head and have fun and do it and be more sustainable. And listen, that's that's a mental thing, man. That's the mental game that we're talking about. It's so important, because when you're motivated to do something, you're going to be more successful, right? You're going to be more successful. How do you stay motivated? Stay comfortable, man. Wear the right saddle. Use the right rope. Take the right snacks. You know, charge your phone. Charge your Sena. Dude, these are all mental. These are all mental. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Because I'm preaching the arboriculture word right now, bro. and my point is, these ideas transcend everything. It's not just the arb life or anything. You know, we find these inspirations from all over the place. But I think what's important is, as arborists, we learn how to make money better and fine-tune our lives to how we vision it for ourselves or for our family or whatever, you know. And there's a way to create that for yourself in this business. There's a way for everyone to create that for themselves.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about real quick, BJ and TC, what are some things that you're planning to do in this coming year, man? Maybe some more credentials that you're looking to tackle, or I know I'm planning on doing quite a bit of adventuring. I'm trying to look to fill my plate more than I should, but
right.
Burn that candle, right?
You have to, man. I'm really trying to buckle down with this website and this blog, man. I've got a lot of calls out to a lot of people, dude.
This is a big step for you, dude. I was talking to BJ about that earlier.
I think we
talked about it. I'm proud of you tackling this right now.
Yeah, I really think I guess what I'm trying to do is I know there's several people out there doing it, but I just want to be relatable to people. I want everybody to be able to tune in and just have it be easy listening, you know, have it be an enjoyable conversation for people to listen to. I'm not going to sit here and talk about gear that I don't like to use. That's not what this is about for me. You know, this is about life experiences and incorporating what I love to do into my life. This is about learning the latest research and exposing it and talking to people that are doing it.
Educate people.
You know, exactly. This is about tree care and how it fits into our life. You know, I mean, yeah, we can sit here and talk about this and that and the other thing, but I think at the core of it is that's what a lot of people are coming, are getting online or going on YouTube or getting on the social media is to find inspiration. And, you know, unfortunately, you have to, I think, sometimes dig through a lot of slop to find it. So it's just like a little, I'm focused on that, and I'm just looking forward to just hanging out with you guys in trying to get through this screen.
Well, I believe
see you in person. Chris, I'm a lot closer to you than I am to Brian.
Yeah. BJ, what were we going to say? I'm sorry.
We're going to meet up in Charlotte.
Yes.
And I think we should
see one there, right?
I'll be in Charlotte.
All right, cool. That's in April.
Archie's coming with me.
And he should
be... You want to do like in person? Is that what you're saying?
We should do another Airbnb.
Yeah, we're getting a B&B for sure.
Yeah, dude. We should do that. Brock, what up? Are you going after some sort of special credential? Board certified?
Mm. No, I probably should, but I just want to keep chasing the climbs, the whales right now.
Take the Midwest chapter, take the Midwest chapter, lock it down, and then go from there.
I think that's got to be first, and then I'll feel more settled.
Settled like a lion. Settled like a lion.
Arr. Hey, dude, let's shut this down.
Yeah, dude. Hey, listen, I'm gonna go through and I'm gonna try and edit this. So just kind of give me a couple days to get the technical aspect of things in order, and then I'm gonna try and release it as a podcast, and then couple it, you know, sort of as a YouTube video. Besides, but I'll keep you guys posted on how it goes, and as soon as I'm ready to share it, I'm hoping to get the podcast up by tomorrow.
Nice.
Cool.
So,
hey, TC, this is something worth mentioning. I know, you know, some people probably already know this. I'm full of ambition and stuff. BJ, I might have talked to you about this briefly, but I'm freaking serious about it. That I have this idea about doing a Guinness Book of World Record thing this year, like the world's longest rope climb. I'm serious. I've got, and Tuffelberger will probably help me with it.
And
Where is this going down?
Well, there's probably a bunch of options, but I would like to do it somewhere like in an exotic place. It's either got to be a super deep hole, or it's got to be a really tall building,
or a
hot air balloon,
or a cliff.
I mean, that sounds like a wild ass idea.
Hot air balloon, dude. Open ascent, 1,000-foot open ascent. Let's run it, bro. You know
that sounds nutty. But yeah, that could be an option because you could anchor a balloon down and have a rope hanging from it.
You can anchor off multiple balloons like while they're floating over the ocean, bro.
Because there's a building in Dubai that you could tie a rope to. I don't think it's been done. They do a bunch of base jumping off of it. I talked to Steve and Stubby and some other guys, but I'm pretty sure that building, it's over 1,200 feet high. That would probably be world's longest. But I know Tuffelberger would help me out with it. You'd probably to help with some of the travel.
I can see Bo Nagin footlocking that.
I'd probably try to footlock some of it, man. Maybe the first 100 feet or something. You know?
Come on, but you got to switch over,
Chris.
Yeah,
Chris. If anyone is capable of making that happen, it's you, bro.
I think we could do it, you know, nothing can be done without good help. So I need to call in some help. You know what I mean,
bro? I'm telling you right now, you got my, you have me on Messenger, you have me on text.
I mean, how cool would that be? Maybe travel out to Dubai and talk somebody into floating a hot air balloon up so we can climb up like 1,500 feet on a rope. That shit would be nuts, dude.
First time ever.
Could you imagine sending the first run on that thing 1,200 feet on a frog walker, and not even stopping, getting up and smashing the bell,
like swinging,
have a bell at the top, and just get up there and smash it,
dude. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna start training now, but I swear to God, I'll start calling up businesses that do that kind of stuff. I you know what it is, dude. I'm 33. I'm in a pretty blessed spot right now. My bills are relatively nominal.
That's
outside
good.
Of my, you know, we sold our house. I live in this motorhome. I don't have a mortgage. I don't have a bill on this motorhome. So we're in a good place financially where I can kind of get creative with some shit. And I want to do it. I don't know if an idea pops into my head and I get passionate about it, I want to chase it because I don't know it. I want some goals like that. I want some goals. I want something to chase after to make life worth living, man.
Dude, where the mind leads, the body follows, bro.
That's correct.
I know you got to be into it. It's not going to be hard to talk you into being like, hey, let's go to Dubai and climb 1,500 feet up a rope.
Hey, you guys want to hang some HTP from a hot air balloon and run some frog walkers?
Of course.
I mean, that shit could be crazy, dude. Oh, I might have goodness. To pick up a parachute though, just in case something goes down.
I would definitely get the ascent tree tattooed on my butt.
No, this is the deal. We need to hang a couple high lines over the Grand Canyon. Then we can have as long a rope as we want.
I mean,
yeah, you can hang it off of a floating, like a floating anchor.
Yeah, we can't be doing it.
Get into right there. They've done some huge rope swings out there.
We just need a big old hole.
There's some big holes out there that have been climbed up, but I think they've been, you know, 900 to 1,000 feet. So to beat the world record, you have to climb another 200, 300 feet higher.
I wonder what that is. There's got to be a world record rope climb.
Like I think it's Lachigia or some other huge hole somewhere, man, that this huge cave in South America.
I'll tell you what would be cool, Chris, is if you did it, is if you can somehow figure it out to couple it with a charity event, bro. Every 100 feet, get a sponsor.
Yeah, what I want to figure out how to do is how to tie that back to shedding good light on arboriculture, modern arboriculture, you know, and figure out how to make something like that, you know, benefit arborists as a whole. I love what Jake Malark and those guys did with the Archangel Project and, you know, shedding light on the big trees out there. I wonder how this rope climb could be something good and beneficial for arborists. That's the only way I can move forward. It can't be something that is totally for self. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Where it needs to happen.
Open it up. Open it up. Open it up to comments, bro.
Yeah.
See what people think. Bounce it off the right people, and it'll take form.
Okay.
It'll take form.
All right. Cool.
Dude, I really appreciate it, guys.
Hey, can we do this again next month?
We can do it. Yo, we'll co-host a podcast once a month. Three of us.
Yeah,
we'll just get together and we'll let our hair down a little bit, man. You know, let's
grow some hair first.
Let's forget about the bills.
Yeah. That's why we go to comps, to forget about the bills.
Let's go to comps. I'll tell you right now, dude. I'll tell you right now. If you guys are going to be in Myrtle Beach, you better be ready. Because I'm bringing the pain, dude.
The heat?
I'm bringing the heat.
All right.
I got bald tires on my truck, man, and I don't plan on changing them out. I'll tell you that right now. The tires are spinning, guys.
Love it.
Yo, bro, I'm signing out. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Hey, I appreciate it. keep doing what you're doing, man. I love that blog. That makes my day. Any day one of those come up.
I appreciate that, Brock, man. I appreciate you guys.
We'll see you soon, guys.
I love you guys. Peace.
Love you too, man.